It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Here's Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. It's Miller and Condon on a Tuesday. Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Trent Condon, Ken Miller with you for the next couple of hours. We've got a ton of sports to recap and to discuss here this morning. And thank you for spending some of your time with Trent and I. On the BMW of Des Moines guest list here today, the Big 12 was making news. In a number of ways, Gary Patterson, I'm sure that'll come up at some point, but the schedule, we now know that the Big 12 has a plan. It's 9+1. Max Olson and Nicole Auerbach were the first to report the parameters of what the Big 12 is going to do. Max Olson will join us at 10:25. Mitch Holtis is with us at 10:50, the voice of the defending Super Bowl champions Kansas City Chiefs. He's with us every day at 10:50 throughout training camp and then weekly reports throughout the entire season. He has Patrick Mahomes as part of the sit-down with Trent and I this morning. No, Patrick Mahomes isn't sitting down, but Mitch has a soundbite as part of his daily appearances. And today, the face of the NFL, Patrick Mahomes, is going to be the focal point of that. At 11:05, we thought we'd reach out to Randy Wehofer. Kind of give him a 10-minute infomercial. I think the Cubs deserve it.
Yes, no doubt.
They really do. I mean, look, at the Barnstormers got hit in the you-know-whats, obviously. The Wild and the Wolves had to end their seasons prematurely, but the Iowa Cubs, for what they did in hosting the state baseball championship and doing so the way that they were able to pull it off, feather in their cap, and we're going to applaud, and we're going to have them on to do that at the same time. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, and they also have the college games coming up.
Right, three of them, Trent?
Three of them, yeah.
Three double dips, I think.
Yes, yep. So there'll be a bunch of local talent involved there, a lot of kids from the state of Iowa playing All-American. Peyton Williams, freshman All-American team this year in the abbreviated college season. Gotcha. He's out there along with a whole host of names that certainly I know from calling baseball the last few years. It was fun. I was taking another peek through that roster yesterday and just memories kind of popping in. Oh, I remember that kid. I remember that kid. And going through and watching it. A lot of good talent. And the other thing, high school state tournament, of course, you couldn't have a cold beer watching the ball game.
You can this week.
Get out to the ballpark. Have yourself a cold one. Watch a little baseball.
Absolutely. More high school conversation coming up in a couple of minutes here. So Randy Wehofer is going to join us. Danielle West is going to kind of piggyback on the end. She's from the LifeServe Blood Support. There's a major blood drive taking place on Thursday morning at Principal Park. And I say morning, I think it's, I want to say 7 a.m. to 1, so they'll get you through lunch, but you have to register in advance. The era that we're in right now, you just can't show up and give blood as you used to be able to do. So we're going to have Danielle West join us from LifeServe Blood Support to give a little bit of more of the particulars. If you're so inclined, there is an opportunity at Principal Park coming up on this Thursday morning. So we'll do that at 11:05. And then Matt Norlander from CBS, he is one of how many would you say, two or three guys over there at CBS? John, what's John's last name? Rothstein?
He's not with CBS, though. He has kind of his own deal.
Oh, does he?
Did Gary Parrish are the 1-2 punch at CBS for College Hoops.
Did Rothstein not used to be at CBS?
Yeah, I think it was like the New York affiliate.
Okay.
The CBS New York is that's what he wrote for a number of years. He also works for Compass Media. He has a podcast through their network. So that's Rothstein, who you see every morning with his quotes that he likes to put out.
No, he's a good follow on Twitter if you're a college basketball fan or if you're in the sports media business. Mm-hmm. He's a really good follow. But we'll have another really good guest, Matt Norlander, who, as Trent says, one of the two, Gary Parrish, Matt Norlander at CBS covering college basketball. We'll do a lot of national college basketball. Baylor making some news, obviously. The big news was the news that came out of Iowa City mm-hmm. on Sunday, and just salivating, and not that we're wishing these next few months away, but we're certainly hoping for
maybe we are
good fortune. yeah, maybe we are for good fortune with this pandemic that we're in, so we can see this play out. 2 weeks ago, roughly, maybe I don't know, over a week ago, mm-hmm. you threw out this high school story as something to watch when we got word that there was a receiver that was transferring, our DB that was
cornerback
transferring in from California. You mentioned that that might not be the end of it, that you're hearing there's a quarterback that's committed to K-State that may be following suit. Now we're starting to see, I don't want to say the floodgates open at this point, but certainly doesn't feel like we have come to the end of this, mm-hmm. that there's going to be more. I'm torn on this, Trent. I really am. I kind of, in a way, feel that the kids that are going to potentially lose their spot as a senior on those teams, the world's not fair.
Right.
Right. Yeah, the world's not fair. And you know, this might be the first time in their lives that they realize that, you know, they've had it pretty good in a lot of ways up until now. Mm-hmm. And once they get on this world, they're about to realize that everything doesn't always go your way. But at the same time, these kids probably, a lot of cases, kids that lose their spot, grew up with the kids, played with those teammates or a number of those teammates their entire way through the school system. Saw a little bit of playing time as a junior, but mm-hmm. you were behind the senior, but he's going to graduate next year and you're going to get your chance. Well, maybe that won't be there because of some states not offering high school football and, you know, other kids that are going to come in and take those spots. I get it. You want the best kids to play, certainly at pros, certainly in college. Does it trickle down to high school?
It feels like that's where we are. Uh-huh. And is it right? Is it the way that it should be?
See, I don't know, Trent. I'm torn by that.
I'm sure the frustrating part, and there's going to be a kid that loses it. But for the kid that was going to start, Enrico Gafford makes his transfer in from East. Right. And he goes to Dowling Catholic. Mm-hmm. Was it fair to that young man that lost mm-hmm. his spot? Mm-hmm. Nothing's guaranteed.
Right.
And nothing's guaranteed. And if you're good enough, they'll find a spot for you. Now, quarterback's a different conversation.
Right. And this kid, this Rubley kid's got some ties, some local ties,
yes,
right?
Yeah. His dad is from Davenport, played Davenport High School, was teammates in high school with Ryan Cooley, the Valley baseball coach. There's a connection there.
And who's Rubley's uncle?
Played at Iowa State.
State, right?
Yeah, Terry Rubley, who played in the, what would have been, early 90s. He was there as a quarterback. Played down at Tulsa. And got a shot in the NFL, but he was at Tulsa. He made that decision. Tulsa, who had a great line of quarterbacks, Gus Frat during that time. There were some good programs. Mm-hmm. Iowa famously went down there. Hayden Fry decided it's a business trip. We're going to fly down the day of the game.
Yep, I remember that well. It did not go well on Monday morning on our airwaves.
I bet. I could only imagine. Uh-huh. It certainly wasn't going over very well in the halls of Osage High School either at that time. What is Hayden doing?
Right.
And it did not go very well. It was, the Tulsa connection down there. And then it's interesting, reading through the article, Denver Post has an article about this, about Rubley making the decision possibly.
See, I can't click on there because you only get five, and I use those for Broncos.
I see. So you're kind of up a creek, huh?
Right.
You can't click on this. Well, I'll print it out for you, and you can have a run through it that way. But talking about it, his decision, you worked this hard. Your senior year is not going to have that opportunity. He's going to be an early enrollee at Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? Mm-hmm. You find a place you can play.
Right.
And as you look around, you look at other surrounding states, even look at Kansas, and which would make sense. Go to Manhattan or go to a school down there. That would make sense. But because of the father's connections to the state, to the connections to Valley.
Yep.
And
do the whole family have to, you have to establish residency, Trent?
You know, that would be a great question for a Chris Cuellar. Exactly.
Who's on vacation.
What exactly would...
And I don't blame him, by the way. Just got through the state tournament.
Right. What constitutes exactly residency?
Right.
You've heard the stories. Well, you just get a P.O. box and you're good.
Right.
Is it as simple as that? Mm. When you establish residency, what does that mean? Is it as simple as the kid moving himself? 17. He's going to be off on his own here in... 4 months anyway, going to college in January. You do that.
Can you do that at 17 in this country?
You can.
Can
absolutely,
you?
Absolutely.
You can move out on your own at 17?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you don't know.
You can go out there as long as you pay the bills and you pay for your apartment or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You're good to go there. But one of the interesting things here in this article from the Denver Post, talking about knowing the area. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Along with a potential business opportunity for the family. That just struck me as odd. What does that mean? Is there a job already lined up for dad? Dad's a football coach.
Sounds like it.
He's a head football coach. Is Valley finding a teaching job for him and a coaching job to go along with it?
Well, it wouldn't be the first time that we've seen that in a lot of levels. Now, normally that takes place in college.
Right.
Well, that we know of anyways.
Right. Is he the heir apparent to Gary Swenson now? Has he been Gary? I mean, this is the speculation that can lead to these kind of conversations when you read business opportunity.
That is weird.
Dad's a teacher. I don't know what mom is, and it could be that, and doesn't mean teachers can't have side gigs.
Right.
And very well could be that, too. But I don't know. Just that part of it struck me as a little bit odd reading through the article. But I completely understand the young man's decision. You want to play.
He wants to play, right.
You want to play. You want to find a place that makes sense, and Valley certainly makes sense. His running back, who's going to be his teammate at Kansas State, is committed to K-State. So, I mean, you get the 1-2 punch. You got two Big 12 football players in the backfield of Valley if this comes to fruition.
Right.
Nothing official yet, but it's been there.
It was because we talked about the left-handed quarterback that was throwing darts. Who looked like he's got a big arm. That was my takeaway from it. I don't know the kid's name. I watched the video clip, and I thought, wow, this kid can really sling it. So anyway.
And the kid he was throwing to is a transfer from Johnston.
Will Valley and Dowling get all of these kids? Would it be fairer if they're going to go into a transfer portal that the Iowa high schools assign? No, maybe that's not the right word for it, but it kind of is. Did they assign them to their new program? You want to move?
You can't do that.
You can't.
Well, are you going to assign kids to college?
No.
Sorry, Alabama's got enough.
But these are different circumstances.
Are they?
It's high school.
Yeah. You can choose where you go to high school.
I guess. But they're coming here for 6 months. I mean, everybody's
not even.
Right. We know what's going on. Mm-hmm. They're not staying. They're not establishing residence. They're going to go back to where they are. They selling their house? That should be a requirement. Show me the bill of sale. I need to see the real estate that you sold your house and you really are transferring into Central Iowa. It's not going to be the last. It's not going to be the last. And here's the question that I had. I think I brought it up yesterday, and we didn't know the answer to this. If they get here, and because COVID's still in charge. I mean, King football has always won till now. King football's met his match, sadly. But if they have to shut down the high school season, would they? And their state has already said they have plans to play in the January, February, March, in the spring, if you want to call it that, would they be eligible if they go back?
I don't.
They shouldn't be.
Right, right. If you've already played a season, then you can't play a second.
They're gambling.
Well, and I wonder, here's something that probably would actually play into it. So we have split seasons for golf in our state. The big schools play in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Small schools play in the spring. And if you're a kid kind of on that, just on the tier of being a collegiate golfer, and you know what? You need some more rounds. You need to be able to show coaches, all right, I'm going to go to Van Meter for my spring semester and be able to play then spring golf after playing fall at Southeast Polk.
Right.
Can you do that? Probably not, because it is two of the same sports. But that's also in the same state. I there are so many hurdles that we just don't know about in these conversations that continue to crop up. But Rubley's not alone. Another piece of this, two other teammates of him out in Colorado may be joining him at West Des Moines Valley.
Jesus.
So offensive lineman, his name is Ty Chirico, and a junior tight end, Jane Arroyo, may join their quarterback in Iowa if the season is delayed to the spring, according to Jake.
The rich get richer.
Valley's going to be stacked.
Valley's going to be that. So I'm going to be the commissioner.
All right.
And I'm not going to let this happen.
No?
No. You're welcome to come here. You got to buy a house. Got to sell your house.
Mm-hmm.
You got to establish. I just got a text when you were speaking that it happened in Eastern Iowa. Some kid transferred to Solon, and they actually put him in his own apartment at 17 years old. So it does happen.
It does.
Boy, man, I wish my parents would have done that gig.
Well, you had to be a better hockey player for that to
happen. That's true.
If you were an elite hockey player, yeah, I bet you would have. It would have been a lot different for you at 17.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, my best friend Louis, he was gone from the time he was 14. He was in the Western League.
Yeah, yeah.
But he would billet with some family. Mm-hmm. Anyways, you can't go to Valley. You can't go to Dowling.
No,
you can, but you can. They got to take one or two. But then everybody's got to have it. Everybody gets one.
All right,
Marquis's going to get one.
Hoover.
Hoover's going to get a kid.
All right.
We're going to spread them out fairly.
Fairly.
Fairly. I just don't want... I mean, there's going to be a bunch of kids at Valley that are going to lose their jobs.
There, yes.
They're lose their spots.
Mm-hmm.
Life's not fair. I get it. But high school, it's kind of more protective. See, once you get out of high school and you go to college, you're fair game to criticize. That's been my...
You've always said you don't want to see behind the curtain of college athletics.
I don't either. Especially basketball.
Well, now you're seeing behind the curtain of high school athletics. And
maybe I was naive to think that this hasn't happened before.
Well, Peter Jack.
Right. Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Good point. That's a good one.
I remember the conversations.
I do, too.
As you know, I know Jeff Horner very well. Mm-hmm. Consider him a friend. We were teaching in the same building at the time, and... Those conversations that were happening, where is he going to end up, and what was the pitch?
What was the, because we had a field day with this.
And Peter Nixon?
That's who it was.
Yeah.
The go-between, if you will. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nixon, I can't think of the dad's first name, but it was Peter Nixon was the player.
Yep. It was Nixon was the last name.
Yep.
I remember that now. It's coming back. Anyways.
And this is, what, 8-9 years ago?
Yeah, so it's been a long time. I mean,
yeah.
Jacques's been long gone from the University of Iowa. So we'll see. But a big story. You had it last week. Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
Now it sounds like there's going to be more. But again... I'm torn.
Mm-hmm.
I was not torn by how much I enjoyed yesterday watching sports. God, don't let them take this away from us. It has been unbelievable. We got a hockey game coming up in 45 minutes, by the way.
You're just in heaven.
Oh, my God, Trent. And then my squad won yesterday.
They
did. Which just completely surprised the hell out of me, which was great. But baseball last night, your Twins, I can't believe they won that baseball game. I turned into the Twins because the Cubs were a little bit late starting, so mm-hmm. I watched early Twins. First pitch of the game, Pirates 1-0.
It was funny, Morneau going into it. Bremer, we're talking about this team is anemic offensively. Right. They're hitting 179 as a team. And that guy just absolutely belted. Was it Tucker?
Yeah.
With the locks.
Or Reynolds. Tucker, yeah. The
flowing
center
out of the back of the hair.
Yep. Your team looked dead in the water.
Yeah,
Trent. I was shocked that they came back and won that baseball game. They just looked like, you know, Cleveland just left town. Mm-hmm. We took three or four from the team that we're going to probably have to outrun to win the division.
We're going to coast to this division.
Here come the Pirates. They just got swept in Chicago. We'll just show up in the ballpark and put this in the win column. And that's what I was watching for the first five mm-hmm. innings. And then the sixth inning came along.
And they finally put four on the board.
Yeah.
And do it a myriad of different ways that they were able to get it done. And then Nelson Cruz.
Then get it done in the ninth.
Oh, yeah. And I wanted that thing to leave the ballpark.
Yeah.
I was hollering at it to leave the ballpark as it left his bat. It's a really good team.
Trent, no one's going to catch him. In the division.
The White Sox are playing well. They've won five in a row. After that slow start the first week, mm-hmm. they are playing good baseball.
And if they're pitching, they're starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that they can knock the crap out of the baseball. And their defense is average.
Yeah.
But they're still a good team, and I do believe they're in second place now. I do believe that they'll finish second in that division. But this Twins team is...
Find a weakness.
Good luck.
The injuries are a little concerning.
Yeah, Donaldson didn't start again last night, so that's been how many days?
And it's a calf injury, which he has struggled
with. He's had before.
Yes, both calves have been problems for him.
He had these back in Toronto.
Yes, this is something that... If it was just a calf injury to an everyday player, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a guy that has had that in the past, and they've mm-hmm. been significant injuries to him. Odorizzi was put on the 10-day IL before the season. It's been 2 weeks.
Mm.
Still no word what's going to happen. They put Homer Bailey on the IL. How long is that going to last? They're still almost 30 days away from getting Pineda back. So that rotation is concerning when you talk about the injuries. But
they're going to score 10 runs every game.
On the bullpen. The bullpen... Is it as good as anybody in baseball? It's in the conversation with the Yankees.
And the Indians.
And the Indians.
Yes.
But the Indians mm-hmm. is more their starting rotation. I'm talking strictly bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good.
Yeah.
This is a really, really good team. And
Cubs have been good the last couple of nights.
Now you just end up on the other side of the bracket from the Yankees, and worst case scenario, you have to play them in the ALCS, but hopefully they'll be knocked off before then. And then you're talking about the 2020 asterisk world champion Minnesota Twins. Speaking of bullpens... Roman Wick.
Yeah, how about
and
that?
And the Cubs
yesterday?
Find their guy?
Well, they've identified a guy that they can no longer find. Although David Ross, I flipped over during the Twins commercial break, and it was part of the rain delay, and Ross was being interviewed, the pregame, I guess it was, and he said that going back to Sunday, he was the next pitcher to come in. Yeah. Had they got to the 12th inning, it was going to be Kimbrel. So it's not like he was out of sight, out of mind, but he kind of was because there was plenty of opportunities to get him in prior to that, and Jeffers was, I mean, obviously you're going to give him the ball, and Wick yesterday was great. So the Cubs, I mean, Javi Baez, did you see the play he made at second base again, the tag that he made at second base again?
Best tagger in baseball history.
It's not even close. Trent, it's not even close.
I don't know who else is on that list. I just know who's in the top spot.
Right. He let the ball come to him. There was going to be a collision. It was Mondesi. Mondesi can run.
Yes, he can.
He can run. And the ball get there a split second. He didn't flinch. Baez just kept his glove there, didn't reach for it, because Mondesi would have been safe. Wasn't looking at Mondesi. Was looking at Contreras the whole time. It was unbelievable. I leapt out of my chair. I couldn't believe it. He's so good at what he does. So the Cubs had a nice win yesterday. Sports.
Yeah, sports. It's back with us.
Please.
So tonight.
Oh, the Blackhawks got crushed.
And they did.
Yeah.
3-2. Who's going out for the ninth inning? Everybody's available.
Jeffers.
They get Hendricks goes 8, but he's throwing 110 pitches in
Jeffers,
his ninth over.
Jeffers.
You're going Jeffers first.
Yep. Not Kimbrel.
No.
Not him.
It might be Wick for me. For the mess he cleaned up Saturday to what he did again last night. Really impressed by this guy.
I was impressed by this Sadler kid who I knew nothing about until we saw.
And speaking of being impressed, are we learning something here now with Alec Mills?
Yes, he belongs.
How old is he?
I don't know, but
I mean, he's been around.
Yeah, he was a Royal.
He with the iCubs for a while.
Yes, he was.
He's 28.
Is he really? Trent, he's been terrific.
Yes.
Chatwood, terrific. Mills, terrific. They're 4-5. I guess they're 3-5. Nobody saw those coming.
Not at all.
Nobody saw it coming. Hendricks was good in start one. He got beat up the other night. Start in Cincinnati. We'll see how he is tonight. But boy, oh boy, baseball is so much fun. Look, we both love baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like it's... I mean, you don't know what you got till it's gone, maybe, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's so digging it. KXNO and iHeart want to help you pay your bills. Text the keyword... cash to 200-200 right now. It's your chance to win $1,000. That's cash to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
All right, the Big 12 has come up with their scheduling plan. Max Olson writes for The Athletic. He will join Trent and I next. We'll talk Big 12 with Max Olson. Mitch Holtis, 1050. Patrick Mahomes is part of today's segment. If you're a Chiefs fan, if you're an NFL fan, he's the face of the league. How can you not like Patrick Mahomes? Seriously.
Well, if you're a Bronco,
I am a Broncos fan. How can you not like the kid?
Wait a couple of years. He keeps pounding your team. You're gonna not like Patrick Mahomes very much coming up in a few years.
Probably so, right? Maybe ask Jets fans and Bills fans and Dolphins fans. How can you not like Tom Brady? Miller and Condon till noon. Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO1.
Ken Miller, Trent Condon, Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO.
And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. Almost 10:30 here on a Tuesday morning. It's Des Moines Sports Station. 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. Still to come this hour, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, his daily training camp report coming up at about 10:50-ish. Right now, Max Olson, who along with Nicole Auerbach were first to report the Big 12's plans. Their board of directors met yesterday. It is going to be a 9-1. Max joins us. Max, Trent Condon, Ken Miller, thanks for coming back on KXNO in Des Moines. How are you?
Just trying to keep up, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult, right? And not that this is set in stone by any means. We will see. What I want to ask you first, Max, is we've heard a lot of talk that there was some in the camp that they wanted to play all 12 games, that they thought that they were going to be able to, you know, swallow hard. Maybe we'll try and pull this off. We play all the games on our schedule, or at least 12. Obviously, some of them have been taken off. We know the Seahawks game is one of them. That won't take place this year. But they wanted to play 12. How contentious was the discussion before finally settling on 9-1?
Yeah, you know, in talking with Big 12, you know, ADs and officials on Friday, you got the sense that there was kind of two schools of thought here. One of them being, hey, let's play, just keep it simple, 9+1, sort of follow the rest of the Power 5 pack here a little bit in doing that. And then there was, you know, others who, you know, sort of saw this as, look, the key issue here is flexibility. I don't think you can watch what's happening in Major League Baseball and not kind of start to come to grips with this fact that there's probably, you know, there's a good chance there's going to be cancellations or postponed games or rescheduled games at some point during a fall season if we're going to pull this off. And so there were some folks who wanted to see a minimum 9+1, but then give teams the option if they want to play up to 3 non-conference games. And honestly, I sort of thought that that would maybe be the compromise they settled on, but the board ultimately went with 9+1. I think it's simpler, it's more uniform if everybody's playing the same schedule. And I think there's still some flexibility built into this, where I think what you're going to see in a lot of cases are teams, you know, maybe they play September 5th, take 2 weeks off, kind of adjust, do, you know, see how things go, and kind of, you know, you've got students back on campus and you're trying to sort of preserve the integrity of your bubble for your football program. So you have a few weeks to kind of get used to that before you take those 2 weeks and then go play a conference game. And then there's going to be some flexibility on the back end to move back to Big 12 title game if needed. I get why they ended up there, but there are going to be some folks who don't love that plan because they wanted to have the option to play more games and try and make up some of that revenue.
Mm. Is August 29th still on, do you think? Do you think that those – I know there's Kansas and Oklahoma for sure. There might be another one that was going to play week zero. Is that still an option, or do you think they'll be forced to move closer to what would be, you know, the I guess the target for the start of conference play?
Yeah, so Oklahoma, Kansas, TCU, and West Virginia were all – as of last week, planning to play week zero. Now, I think those will move. I think those will get, you know, pushed to, you know, maybe September 5th or 12th. Because I don't know that, I think maybe 3 weeks off between a game is probably too long. So I could see that stuff moving. But it is an interesting opportunity if you were to be the only, kind of the only games on TV for that week. I could kind of see the thinking initially, but yeah, I think 3 weeks is too long, and I think these Big 12 teams will sort of, you know, work through these cancellations and announce these non-conference games here in the next 48 hours. I think you have to move quickly because certainly your coaches want to know who they're playing and when.
September 7th through the 12th is when the ACC is going to get started, but we hear the Pac-12, they're looking at late September. We're here in mid-September for the SEC. You mentioned that flexibility, Max, and this is the part that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Why aren't we going with that week zero date to get things started for everybody at that point and have flexibility all throughout the season? What's the justification that you've heard for some of these other conferences outside of the Big 12 and ACC moving things back so far and feel like taking away a lot of that flexibility?
Yeah, bottom line, and I think it's hard to argue if you frame things this way. I think the push to start in late September is purely a health and safety move. And from that standpoint, you kind of have to appreciate that and go with it because right now, as many folks have pointed out, you know, these college football programs that reported for summer workouts in June and July, they're the only folks on campus. And even then, they still dealt with outbreaks and had to shut down for a while. You're dealing with the issue of students, you know, going out on the weekends and you know, contracting the virus and spreading it to their teammates and stuff like that. So, you know, they kind of have a bubble right now. And now what you're doing is sort of taking them out of that bubble in some ways by, you know, bringing students back to campus here. And of course, every school is going to be handled a lot differently. But I think the concern there is, you know, this is just such a step-by-step process. They're going to start practicing and we have no idea, you know, kind of how many, you know, how much we're going to deal with outbreaks and more cases due to just practicing. So you have to kind of get through that part of it, and then you have to get through the return to campus part and hope that you're in a good place by late September to start playing some real games.
The schools, will they be left to their own volition? I would imagine that they would be, to schedule, you know, obviously there's nothing they can do with the conference games, but the plus one, will they be able to, how are they going to go about it, I guess? Is it going to be each differently that they're going to decide, well, we got to pay this school this much, we only have to pay this school this much, they're not as good as this school? And when will they let the conference know who their plus one is going to be against?
Yeah, I think that should happen fairly quickly this week. In a lot of cases, the fact that they went to 9+1 actually makes that stuff a little bit easier, because now you're really just sort of calling around to cancel on the games you don't want to play and keep the one you do. And I think in a lot of cases, the Big 12 is going to end up playing a very easy non-conference schedule. We already know Kansas is going to play Southern Illinois. Oklahoma is going to play Missouri State. Texas, I think, is probably going to play UTEP. I think Baylor has to choose between Louisiana Tech and Incarnate Word. I think I've heard they're going to keep Incarnate Word, but yeah, we'll see on that. So, I mean, for Iowa State, you've got a couple options, obviously, but if you just kept the South Dakota game on the 5th, that might be the easy way to go. And we know West Virginia is going to play Eastern Kentucky. So it's going to be, frankly, it's going to be these teams kind of playing the easiest game they've got on their schedule. TCU is kind of an interesting one, because that could be UNLV, which is at least a group of five team.
Uh-huh.
And Texas Tech is going to have to – I think Texas Tech is going to have to find a new opponent, because the only game they have left on their schedule is a road game at UTEP. And all these non-conference games, they must be home games in terms of trying to preserve the TV deal. So I'm sure Texas Tech's getting dozens of calls from folks saying, please play us, because we really need this.
Was there any conversation at all about folding in BYU? There was speculation last week that watch BYU through all of this, that they may play an important role once the Big 12 does determine how they're going to go forward with their schedule. Did you ever hear anything about BYU?
Simply put, no. I was just told that the Big 12 is not, you know, It's not their prerogative or their responsibility to help out BYU with this stuff.
Right.
Now, if you'd gone to a 12-game schedule and teams were looking to fill games,
gotcha,
then yeah, maybe that's a realistic thing there, where you can line up some home games with BYU, whose schedule has been totally wrecked by all of this, mm-hmm, and probably would agree to go play road games in the Big 12. If they'd gone up to 12, I'm sure that BYU would be making a ton of calls and probably would have a chance of getting some games on the schedule. But the idea of folding BYU into the Big 12 to be the only non-conference team or something like that was never realistic. And look, now that it's 9+1, you got to understand that these schools are going to have to cancel games with Group of Five and FCS teams, who are then going to sue them to try and get some of that money back, mm-hmm, right? And
yep,
so you're not going to go through that process and cancel all the games you've got and deal with the financial headaches of doing that just to help out BYU. You know, you've got to kind of keep the one game you got and call up the rest and apologize, you know? So it doesn't really make sense to dump what you've got and play a tougher opponent that you don't necessarily have to.
This whole conversation could be moot here in a few hours after the sure NCAA, their meeting gets together, and if they make the decision to cancel fall sports. If that would happen, Sports Illustrated had a piece about the possibility of the power structure getting together and forming their own championship for this year, and maybe leading something even bigger down the road. Likelihood that you expect, what do you expect to hear from the NCAA as a whole today? And secondly, could you see something like that happening here for 2020, the Power Five having their own championship?
Now, I wouldn't say that folks are just getting all that ready and that's what the Power Fives, it's already in the works, because mm-hmm, I think everyone's sort of sitting back, you know, wondering how this is going to go. I think it's a fascinating problem, and the ADs I talked to in the Big 12 were sort of mixed on it. Some of them said they're really, really nervous about how this is going to go today. And some of them said, that they don't know that this necessarily affects them, because there is that possibility that the Power Fives can decide, hey, let's go play our own championships. But it's an important problem. I could see the board deciding, hey, let's shut down fall championships for everybody except D1. You know, I could see that being an outcome today. I think that's really what everyone is sort of pleading with them to do, is, hey, let's mm-hmm continue to push this back. Give us more time. Let us get into a season and see how it goes. But it's a reminder that as much as these commissioners, want to get together and make plans and come up with models that they feel comfortable with, at the end of the day, they still have people above them that are going to make the call on this. And so it's a fascinating dynamic that I think creates a lot more tension and pressure in that relationship with the NCAA.
Real quick on Gary Patterson. Obviously, when the story first broke, it didn't look well. It looked awful for him. But then there's a little bit more clarity, and I know there were other teammates in the room that came out and said, "No, that's not the way it happened. You got to use a little context here." I don't want to say nipped it in the bud, but it doesn't seem like this. That this TCU story is going to have the legs that maybe Gundy's did, or certainly here in our state at the University of Iowa. Is Patterson off the hook? Maybe not the right way, but it seems like this isn't going to have a long shelf life from where I sit. Do you see it that way?
There's been no indication so far that TCU is looking to punish or reprimand him. He finally released an apology this morning, in which he acknowledged that he did use the N-word in talking to one of his players on Sunday. And I think the players have made it very clear to him that it does not matter what the context is for how it was said. You don't say it. And it's to them, it's certainly a big deal, but it seems like, and it was certainly sort of bizarre to see this all play out via Twitter yesterday, mm-hmm. but it seems like they've landed in a spot where he had meetings with their leadership and the leadership council on their team and their seniors yesterday to talk about how they move forward. It seems like the players are choosing forgiveness on this and saying that, hey, we know him and know his character, and we're gonna move past this. But certainly a wild incident, and in some ways you sort of feel for the player Dylan Jordan, who. Certainly he has everything to lose by sharing this, mm-hmm. especially as currently a member of the team. And you saw how quickly even his own teammates turned on him a little bit.
It's true.
And how instantly the fan base turned on him. So that's a tough deal when you experience something like this. You try and put it out there to share your side of what happened, and you just get killed for it on Twitter and publicly and stuff. But we'll see how kind of he moves forward from this. But Gary Patterson, certainly, it's certainly something that, I think he's going to have to continue to answer for, but I don't think there's going to be a punishment.
Yeah, and I agree with you more. I feel for the student athlete, mm-hmm. absolutely.
You know, it's so interesting here in our state. Kirk Ferentz has had a very tumultuous offseason. We see Gary Patterson. These are the two longest tenured coaches in college football, and something to be said maybe with that, being at a program for that long, regardless of, and I think most people believe.
Mike Gundy, too.
Yeah, Mike Gundy.
Mike Gundy might be number three.
Yeah, yeah. He's mm-hmm. right up on that list. I think only Whittingham of Utah out of the power structure is the only one that's been there longer outside of Gundy. He's on that list. And Utah had something happen this offseason, too.
Yeah, with the coordinator.
Yeah, we're talking about the four longest tenured. Being at a program long time, no matter how you do it, there's going to be something on Earth, Max.
Yeah, and maybe if you're the head coach for that long, I'm not saying this is the case with Gary Patterson because this seems like a one-time incident, but I think we've seen clearly with Mike Gundy and Kirk Ferentz, you sort of find out that if you're the head coach that long, you sort of develop some blind spots to things mm-hmm. that are going on in your program, and you need to address them. And now we've got players who are going to come out and say, here's what the problem is, and this needs to be addressed. So it applies a different kind of pressure now, because a lot of times these things, you don't hear about them. They stay in-house. They don't really come out. And it's a problem, but nobody else really knows about it. So the fact that, like I said, all of this stuff played out on Twitter yesterday, and that's kind of how things are now. Things, you're always sort of one tweet away from being in a lot of trouble.
Today is the final day for the Athletics 40% off subscription. Trent and I are both subscribers. Mm-hmm. Two enthusiastic thumbs up for us. If you are a sports fan and if you're listening to us, we know that you are. This is the future of sports journalism, in my opinion, certainly sports writing. Max Olson is a perfect example of that, and we appreciate you coming on. Thank you, Max Olson. We will talk to you down the line.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take care.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Max Olson. On the Big 12. So when do you think we'll know, Trent Condon? Who's Iowa State going to pick?
They're going with South Dakota.
South Dakota, week number one. Keep the game on the 5th of September. Thank you, UNLV. Ball State, sorry, it didn't work out.
Yeah, I think the Ball State won since it was put together so late. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the language in there was very easy to get out of the game, where it would be different for the South Dakota game, the UNLV game. I think they can point
When's
to the travel.
When's the return visit to Vegas? Is it next year?
It's a good question. I I want to be there.
Well, yeah. That stadium, Allegiant Stadium?
Yes. Check that thing out. And
I mean, my point being is I hope that they go forward with that game.
Right. Future Iowa State football schedules. Let's pull it up here.
Okay, what do you got,
and
kid?
See what we can find for the return trip next year.
Dang.
September 18th. Hopefully, maybe a Bears-Raiders game the next day.
Oh, the Bears are going to be in town, are they? Okay.
Just speculating, guessing, right, hoping. Right. Fingers crossed. That'd be a pretty good weekend out in Vegas.
Yeah, you think? You trying to hear this just in? There's not many bad weekends
in
Vegas.
That is very, very true. Did you see your boy, Rashawn Bateman?
Yeah, you know what? That's a blow. That's a blow. I felt bad for Papa Stare when I saw that.
Yes.
Because he's a huge...
Not too bad.
Well, I adopted the Gophers last year.
Yes, you did. You had that until the end of the season.
Until they had to come to Iowa City.
After that Penn State game, you were...
Feeling pretty good about my
high cotton over there.
Yeah, I was. I thought I finally got one right.
You and Papa Star.
Yep.
And then, well, they had to play Iowa.
Yeah, darn it.
Phil still can't figure out those Hawkeyes, can he?
No, he hasn't been able to. We will continue talking football, but we're going to switch to the NFL game. Mitch Holthus is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. You will hear from Patrick Mahomes in this segment as well, as Mitch brings audio to the interview each and every week. He spoke with Patrick Mahomes. He's the focal point of at least part of our talk with Mitch. And that's coming up next. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and
WhatsApp.ia.org.
Welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Get right to it. Mitch Holthus, Training Camp Reports, joins us each day during training camp. Tell you about Papa John's at the end of it. The good folks over there, Donaldson, Tom Donaldson and company, Mitch, Trent, and Ken. Before we get into the Chiefs, I had a caller call off air yesterday and just wanted to appreciate for me to relay to you how much he and a lot of his friends appreciate what you do for the Missouri Valley Conference. I know it's very near and dear to you. The conference loves when you do Drake games, wishes he'd see more of you at the Knapp Center, but I'm sure most fan bases in the Valley feel the same way. AJ Green's coming back to UNI, which is huge news. But he just wanted to pass that on to you, Mitch.
Well, thanks, Ken. It's been just some amazing moments for that league. But to see just how impactful that Doug Elgin, the commissioner of that league, has been, Jack Watkins, Mike Kern, very similar to what the Chiefs have done in building an infrastructure that is really one of the leaders in their endeavor. Now, I will tell you, it's a whole other segment. In fact, we may have a whole show on it, of what's going on in college basketball right now, because it's very interesting from a standpoint of scheduling all the transfers. I really think there's a push among the power schools, and we always argue because we want to make basketball football. And we'll throw the Big East in there. I guess they're a power conference, but they put the football power five. And the big, well, maybe the mirror. So here's what's happening. They want to create an FCS basketball, is what I think. And so the Missouri Valley, the Atlantic 10, even the Mountain West face some real challenges. We'll get into that. That's a whole other story, but that's you've touched on something that I think will be very interesting to watch over the next 5 to 7 years.
Mitch, we make the transition in the great unknown of what's going to happen with college basketball to what's going to happen before that and what's going to happen with football. And we were talking right before we came on the air just how everything in your world is changing. I mean, you had a nice routine. You knew what off season was going to look like. You knew what training camp was going to look like, and it just changes, and it's not week to week. It's hour to hour what you're going to do, what you're doing from your perspective. How difficult this has to be for the coaching staff trying to get ready for this season.
And all of the coaching staffs. It's why I'm really proud of the Chiefs and Andy Reid. Andy Reid is a planner. He prepares these teams. There's no wasted days with him. Of all the great coaches the three of us have been around, and the hundreds of people listening to us, of all the great coaches we've been around, we know that they are detail and planning oriented. They have to be. Mm-hmm. No wasted days. One of the key stats for Andy Reid is, get this, he has won 11 straight September games. 11 straight. And 7 of those 11 have been on the road. Now, why is that? It's because he plans, Trent, February, March, April, all to get ready for the season, no wasted days. The reason I say that as a precursor to answer you is the fact that that has gone to the shredder many times. Now, Andy, who preaches the next man up, don't, you know, snivel, whine, or complain, just figure it out. Eliminate distractions is one of his mantras. Attack everything, fear nothing, or two more. Create energy is his fourth. And he tries to put all that in place. He has had to literally on the go, week to week, change things. From my standpoint, it has been crazy. We had a Zoom call. We always have these Monday Zoom calls to get everything going. Here's the way the week's going to look. Seriously, we were off that call at 11:30 Monday morning. By 2:30, everything had changed. Like, scrap all that. We got to do something else. So I'm not complaining because Andy Reid would make me run gassers at the Johnston curve on 35. But the point is, it is the teams that will win, if the NFL season goes on, the teams that will win in 2020 will be the ones that handled this situation. Guy like Matt Rhule at Carolina, I have no idea how he's doing it as a brand new coach with brand new people in place. I have no clue because our guys are on it.
Including your quarterback, Patrick Mahomes.
Well, and he said this now. Okay, so no preseason games. So this is like college now. If you're going to be Iowa, Iowa State, Northern Iowa, Drake, here we go again. But you're going to play the 26th of September. There's no warm-up games. Like, you're going to have to go right away. Mm. 10 all-conference games, you got to hit it. For Mahomes, as right now, Ken, this is called the acclimation period. This is what they worked out with the NFLPA. But whoever maximizes this acclimation period that we're in for the next 10 days could very well be the champions of September. Mahomes gets it, knows it, and actually calling upon his college days to try to get ready in these environments.
With no preseason games, obviously I don't know exactly how that's going to be because I've never done it before. But, I mean, going back to college, I think you know that there has been times where you have to get to those first games and it's serious. You got to make sure you go out there and try to win football games. So I'll try to lean on that, as well as I feel like when you have this acclimation period, it will help guys build up and make sure their bodies are prepared. I feel like that was what was most important. Other than, I mean, the preseason games are something that help a lot of guys out, but I think the health of the players and having this acclimation period to get everybody ready to go so that when we do hit the field, they're ready to go.
And it's not only ready to go physically, and I'll get to that in a second, but it's ready to go emotionally and mentally. And whoever hits the ground running, being at 10:56 on August the 4th, it has to be maximized. When they're in meetings tonight at 7:35 in a COVID preventive environment, it has to be maximized. Same with tomorrow. Same with Thursday. It's why Andy Reid has been phenomenal and winning 11 straight September games. But now that's being challenged, along with the other 31 teams, is who's going to be ready to go? And then who's going to avoid injuries? Even in the lockout of 2011, when, remember, the vets didn't report till 2 weeks later, soft tissue injuries were up, I think, almost 70% that year in the first half of the season. And those are soft tissue injuries. Those are, you know, contact injuries because of physical contact.
Unbelievable. And then we still have the opt-out, and we've got that till when? Thursday. And the Chiefs, Damian Williams, who played such a huge, huge role, he's the latest to say that he just doesn't feel comfortable playing this year. Clyde Edwards-Helaire's a great pickup, Mitch. I hated it, but loved it. Got why you did it. Hated it as a fan of a team in the AFC West. It's a great pick. But Damian Williams was a great player. That's a blow.
It is a blow. And honestly, in the 8 years I've been around Andy Reid, I've seen, and every coach talks about being next man up, right? You hear it in every sport, but they really don't believe it. Like, Miller's out, I got to play Holtz as well. Okay, yeah, next man up. We're going to get smoked. Andy Reid lives it. Like, the don't blink, don't flinch. And he gets through flashpoints and has for 8 years a consistent winning with the Chiefs. Didn't see this coming, wasn't planned, but Damian Williams is a blow. He's upper 4.3s in speed. He's got great lower body power. The last 2 years in the playoffs, he's been a beast.
Yep.
He was outstanding in the playoffs last year. Now, here's the thing, though, because everybody goes, well, it's going to be apples to apples comparison with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Not really. CEH is a different running back to me than Damian Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't just – here's what everybody wants to know, though. Who's the RB1 so they can, you know, for their fantasy football league?
Yeah, and we're going to pick your brain on that.
Am I kidding here? No, I'm not kidding, man.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. There is no RB1 with Andy Reid. Yeah. There hasn't been, with the exception of maybe Kareem Hunt when he was hot his rookie season.
Mm.
Mitch, never has been. Go back to Philly.
Yeah, listen, we're out of time. Papa John's sponsors. Sorry. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, buddy. Good to talk to you.
Get the Shakarama pizza, whatever they call it. It's awesome.
Absolutely. Two enthusiastic thumbs up. Thank you, Mitch Holtis. Appreciate it.
Yeah, bye.
Good to talk to you. All right, our number two coming up next. Randy Wehofer, some blood drive information down in Principal Park for Thursday as well. College basketball conversation, bottom of the hour. Miller and Condon, 1460, 106.3 FM.